All right, so this says we're live. We will see. I mean, I could just quickly check on Twitch, but yeah, you get to deal with my little face for this episode, and I'm gonna do my damnedest to try and make this decently long. Ignore the coffee stains. Ignore the coffee stains on the mug. That has you know that I drink a lot of coffee. I certainly sort of did at PAX East, but 1 second. Okay, so the interesting is, well, we'll get into this. Hello, welcome to a brand new episode of Cosplay Bites, the show all about cosplays, conventions, and all the extra nerdy bits and bites. I'm just lowering some stuff here. Today, or tonight, I'm a little bit late, sorry. I got wrapped up in 7 Rebirth, and frustrated because some of these late game minigames are bullshit. They're too hard, and they're dumb. And as far as I know, you don't get any good rewards out of it. I haven't looked it up yet. I might, but I'm going to keep trucking along with the story. I'm close to finishing it. Could I finish it within the next week? Probably. We'll find out. Anyway, that's not about that. So, I wanted to do this just to not keep you guys waiting. Because PAX East was about a week ago. I went all 4 days representing me, well, my podcast, as a member of the media, and I miss it dearly. yeah, it was, all the way from Boston. I came in early Thursday morning, dropped off at my hotel, and then went into the con, like, just as media hour was just about to end. So I got into the booth a little, exhibitor hall. So, I'm looking up at my second monitor, where I have the document open of all the notes that I took. As best I can, I'm also going to try to fill in the gaps between, any old I might have missed. So, PAX East, last weekend, from Thursday to Sunday. Started things off Thursday. Just getting a lay of the land. Seeing who was there. It's been noted in past years that a lot of the AAA developers, they don't go to this con anymore. Or they have a very, very minuscule presence. I mean, a good example of this would be Nintendo. They made a last-minute decision. Hey, we're going to be at the comic the day before the convention started. But when I say minuscule, I mean it. They had just... I think it was just... They had a booth promoting the latest Pokemon games with the DLC that just wrapped up and came out. So Scarlet and Violet, and they had display statues of the 3 starter Pokemon, and then they had someone come out dressed up as Pikachu. I guess also, apparently, they had someone dressed up as Eevee there. But they had a booth, but then also the Pokemon Company, they themselves had a booth, which was their play lab centered around the training card game, which I did last year. So that was there this year. They had a really cool like wall on the side of one of the sides of their booth. They had a cool display where it was basically documenting like I guess both the Japan, well, their Japan release start and up to now, of all of the mainline Pokemon games. None of the spin-offs, none of the games like Pokemon Stadium, Colosseum, no, this is like strictly mainline games. I don't know if the Legends games were included. I'll have to like look back at the pictures. Ugh, my beard is getting too bushy. So, yeah, there was that. Final Fantasy XIV had a presence. Square Enix themselves in general had a presence with that and multiple panels, which I will get into later on. It was mostly Final Fantasy XIV promoting the upcoming Dawn Trail expansion, which did get a release date announced at the panel. Apparently, this was in a much bigger room than the other Square Enix panel, which I will get into later. So they were there. I guess Larian Studios was also there. I mean, they were there, but it's like I was a bit confused as to why they were there. I guess to get more people into the game, even though it won like, you know, Game of the Year status for multiple awards. What we got here? So their booth was like a castle display with a lot of PC monitors and I guess some like console setups to play Baldur's Gate 3. They had a very impressive like Nautilus ship like crash landing on one of the portions of the booth. Also in there was a statue of a Mind Flayer, in addition to cosplayers hired to cosplay as a variety of characters, from Shadowheart to Karlach to someone dressed up as a Mind Flayer to Asterion, Lythel, the core of the gang that most people were familiar with. So I had made, you know, a couple of appointments, media appointments throughout the con, trying out some games that I had an interest in based on the dozens upon dozens of emails I got leading up to the con asking me, hey, come check out our game. There was one game that I didn't get to try out that I didn't get an email for, but I mean, it just looked very, very up my alley. It was screaming roguelite. Up my alley. All I know is that the game was called Ember Knights. I don't know if it's out yet. I could look it up, or you guys can look it up later, but there was that. My good friends over at Toge Productions was there. I got to spend time with them a little bit. I tried to. I mean, I didn't want to make it look like, you know, I was, you know, constantly hovering over their booth, but they're just very good people. Very sweet people, like awesome, awesome to talk with. But I just, you know, I stopped by ahead of the appointment that I had with them on Saturday, where I wanted to basically, I mean, I will get to it. I interviewed one of the developers that was there for one of the games that previously came out, I believe last year that I played, which was very beautiful. So, actually, sort of tying into, I guess, you know, those tuning into the stream, I checked out this company called Meld. They were a new streaming software. They were trying to, like, you know, I believe this was their first event. I could be wrong, and if I am wrong, I apologize. But, you know, I was just, you know, exploring the area. They had a decently sized booth setup with like sharing the streaming software, and you know, I was talking with one of the people there how, you know, I primarily, when it comes to streaming, it's all from my Mac. It's just how I am. It's like, I don't have a PC setup, so it's like I'm streaming either, you know, through the Mac with the capture card, on Switch games, or if I'm doing PS5, I'm just streaming directly through the PS5. No connection hookup needed. But, you know, I was doing, you know, I did Streamlabs for a little bit, and then they got into hot water, and then I tried Twitch Studio, which was awesome. it was like Twitch's own proprietary streaming software, like built into the platform. That was great. But then they killed support for Macs. And so I regrettably had to succumb to utilizing OBS like the rest of the world. However, Meld streaming software just entered or started their Windows beta, but they were originally built around MacBook users in mind, which, holy shit, that's right up my alley. So, you know, I visited them as often as I could, almost every day. So, fun fact, their software is exactly what I'm using for tonight's stream / podcast recording. And so far, I'm getting the hang of it. And I was testing things out throughout the week. And I very much enjoy, like, the audio mixer layout that they have here. How it's all set up. I've yet to see if, like, you know, the alerts are working. So we will see if that just so happens to work. What do I have here? So I did get to try one of the games that I had on my list. It's a game called Corridon. It's an action RPG published by Anshar Publishing. They were part of a group, like a collective group of developers, publishers, all centered around games from the Poland area. So this game was actually built by a team in Sweden of only two people. And action RPG, it was up my alley. I tried it out for a bit. The gameplay hook is that you somehow get these powers that transform you into a, what they call like a dino beast form, as well as a human form. There's skill trees, robust equipment setup that I did not get to try out because I was kind of in a little bit of a rush due to stuff I will get into immediately after this. The other interesting hook was that there are certain actions in the game that you can only do in certain forms. So there's stuff that you can only do as a human. There's stuff that you can only do as a beast form. And this can go as far as like, opening a treasure chest or, I think that was it. From all the notes I took, and then I had a pen and paper, I took notes, and then I just transcribed them onto my, this little document I have on my computer. And you could also co-op up to four people playing together, because there were other characters like within your party group. So there was that. From Thursday to Friday, I had the ability to help out a fellow cosplayer, content creator. I'm trying to figure out what's the best label. But I got to spend time, room with Holly Wolf, who I haven't seen in, oh God, maybe a couple of years. Because I feel like the last time I saw her was at New York Comic Con. Because she always seems to go to those cons, or that con in particular. But she wanted to try PAX East out. And, you know, her story was that it was funny because I mentioned that, you know, it was only Thursday to Friday because early Saturday morning, she left and flew all the way back home to Canada to go to a vegan-centered expo called Planted over in, I want to say the Toronto area, if I'm wrong. She'll probably let me know. I've been hesitant to ask if she'd want to do an episode with me about PAX East and also Planted, because, I mean, why not? Because, you know, she was creating content. So, yeah, Thursday to Friday, she roomed with me for a couple of days. we grabbed dinner with a couple of her friends that I got to meet for the first time, and we also got to do the after party, which was on Friday. So, speaking of, Friday comes along, and I made sure that I didn't have any media appointment because the one thing that I wanted to do was check out one of the panels. Just so happens that Holly was also going to check out the panel, and also I got to meet one of her friends, also from the Canada area. She goes by Vicky Bunny Angel. Very sweet, very much into Final Fantasy XIV. I believe it is confirmed that I am going to do a podcast episode with Vicky about PAX East because she also went all 4 days, just like I did. So be on the lookout for that sometime next week, which also means I apologize if I regurgitate stuff that you hear in this episode in the upcoming 1-2 episode that I'm going to do about PAX with guests. The other guest is with another content creator that I got to meet for the first time, also a friend of Holly's. She goes by Joe. She does cosplay, she does streaming, and she also helps create content for Many Worlds Tavern, which is this coffee company that basically they make coffee with the idea of, like, you know, having a late night drink while you're doing tabletop or D&D sessions. Fun fact, this is Many Worlds that I'm drinking right now. This is their, Lamp Light Blend. Very, I mean, I could run over and get the bag, but I want to say this is very floral kind of flavoring. I love it, because, I mean, I tried out their coffee for the first time last year. I got the Dragon's Nest blend. So I got this one. And I also got a very pretty playmat that they were selling. There was also a couple other stuff they were selling, like pins. I liked it. Their cat, or they have a cat as a mascot. So big plus for me as a cat owner. They had very gorgeous, like, I guess you'd call them, like, coffee canister holders, like, very much heavy duty ones. They were expensive. I didn't get one of those. I almost did. I didn't. I got one of their play mats. It's sitting on one of my tables. Very pretty, like, just stunning artwork, seriously. They also were selling a variety of tea and also dice trays and other, again, D&D tabletop stuff. So Joe also agreed to be on the podcast. I talked with her. She said that next week would be better for her to, you know, try and get her voice back. So that is the plan. So you got Vicky, you got Joe, both friends with Holly. Glad I got to meet them and spend time with them as often as I could. Friday, we started the day off with the Final Fantasy 16 Rising Tide panel, based on the upcoming DLC, the, I'm assuming, last DLC planned for FF16. It got a release date of mid-April. It was hosted by Yoshi P, the director of the game, Koji Fox, the, like, community translator guy who a lot of people know from, again, FF14 community. They all know about him. It was also hosted by the DLC director, another translator, with an appearance by Ben Starr, the voice of Clive, who headed the, like, Q&A final portion of the DLC. So basically, the panel was just general overview of what you can expect in the DLC, from the region zone of Mysidia to what Clive, Jill, and Joshua are going to be doing, all centered around rescuing, saving the Dominant of Leviathan, who was teased as being lost in the base game. So gameplay additions with you saving / fighting, the new icon. They showed off, you know, some of the stuff you could do with the Leviathan, like powers. Some of which included, if I remember correctly, like you, like, almost like having like a part of Leviathan like grafted onto your arm and like just shooting like water bullets or something like a handgun, like treating it like one form like a regular pistol or rifle and then another form like with like shotgun blast or stuff like that. So I'm very excited for this. I mean, it'll be a minute for me to get back into like, you know, the gameplay swing of things when that comes out in April. By then I should definitely be done with Rebirth, especially if what I mentioned earlier with the remaining mini games / side quests, if those are the last two, I might just go barrel down full steam ahead into the story over this coming weekend. There's also post game content being added with something called Cairo's Gate into FF16. It turns it into a roguelite, and me having gotten into roguelite with games like Transistor and Hades, sort of the Necromancer, if I remember that game correctly, stuff like Dreamscaper, like roguelites are my jam now. So this has me extremely excited. So other than that, I actually just spent the day with Holly, roaming around as her designated camera guy, learning the ins and outs of social media content creation through her eyes, with some of the stuff that she does. Getting, tips in, like, always trying to make sure that content was being taken, either by pictures or by video, because her camera had that ability. I was learning the types of photos and angles to get in, how she could frame some of the photos in, like, this could be an Instagram story and I could add text here, or this is a good, like, just flat out Instagram post or Twitter post or stuff like that. So it was funny, but I did learn a lot. No, like, I am totally down with, like, trying to take what I learned into implementing it into my own content creating efforts. Interesting stuff I got to talk about with her, like, in our little, like, walk through the convention center. I mean, it helped that, we just had to, like, my hotel was directly across the street from the one of the side entrances of the convention center. So, like, we had to just, we'd go in, like, coming in through that way, but not through that entrance. Yeah, because that entrance didn't open up until 11. So we would, like, at least be shielded from the cold and the rain on some of the days. I think one of the days it was raining. So we'd walk around, get into the front entrance. And then from then on out, if we wanted to, like, just go in and out of the convention or back to our hotel room and then come back, simple exit right across the street, onto, like, my hotel, like, their back lawn, as they call it. There were some interesting booths that we got to see. Holly also came over to the Meld booth to learn more about it. She also got to visit, Joe over at the Many World Tavern booth, where she caved and got coffee. There was this odd booth. It was a giant booth. It was like, I can't even remember the name of it, but it was like this gaming company where they had these giant, like, set up statues with, like, these, like, the only way I can describe it is, like, these were, like, portaled into, like, various dimensions. So it was like, we were guessing some kind of, like, VR, AR thing. But what was hilarious is that, I was overhearing later on that I guess Holly was asking around, what the fuck is this? None of the people working at the booth could give her a straight answer, so we just, no one knew. It's very weird. Also, weird stuff about how I guess, like, this gaming company was, like, backed by Saudi Arabia, so there's that whole convoluted nonsense mess. Yeah, so I guess in addition to spending the day with Holly and going out to dinner with her and her friend that Friday night, we also went straight to the Sonic Boombox after party, which was, honestly, it was a lot of fun. I mean, I got to just hang out with her and her group of friends and meet more people. I got to meet very briefly, Jillian Foxglove, and her boyfriend, Playmat. Big into the D&D tabletop, sectors of, the gaming space. Very nice people. Glad I got to meet them. I didn't get to see it in person, but apparently Jillian made an incredible cosplay of Dame Alwyn from Baldur's Gate 3. I saw pictures. It's very incredible. Holy shit, you guys should have seen it. Yeah, that was, I'm trying to think of anything else I might have done on that Friday, but I think that was pretty much it. Saturday, this was the big, Tailgate production visit, which resulted in me interviewing, the producer of the game, who I believe he was directly working through or at with Mojiken Studios, which I believe they got recently brought in, acquired into the Tailgate Productions like family, which was great. So I got to interview him regarding the game, A Space for the Unbound, which, if you guys haven't played it, it is a very beautiful, touching slice of life retro style like adventure game, if that is, I'm hoping that's the correct way to describe them. So there's that. All taking place within Indonesia, specifically set in the 90s, and I asked about that and the producer said that was the intent. So they said that their main goal for the game was that they wanted this title to act as a time capsule for the devs and their memories of growing up in their hometown in Indonesia during the 90s. And I thought, you know, as someone that also grew up in the 90s, I've got some memories, but a lot of the memories, I guess I could just recall, view through old family home videos. In terms of the themes of the game, they said that they wanted Space the Unbound to deal with loneliness, anxiety, and mental health, which is stuff that I guess was a bit difficult for them to work through, deal with, given the nature of some of the developers, I guess, back then having somewhat very strict parents in that kind of lifestyle. So again, you know, they wanted this to serve as a time capsule, so they also view this game as preserving the history for, like, growing up in this time frame in Indonesia. In fact, I was also told that certain members of the team took a pilgrimage to their direct hometown. So some of the locations in the game were directly inspired by these in real life locations. So they were kind of, I believe they were sort of saddened to see, you know, some of these old buildings that they remembered I guess they were converted into something else, or some of these buildings were demolished and brought up for new locations. So, another thing present in the game is that there were many stray cats that you can pet in the game and just giving out random names. But apparently the cat names in the game, they're based on real names of real pets from the developers. They also had an office cat throughout development that they essentially vented to their office cat during difficult times in development. I thought that was funny, as someone who also, you know, likes to talk to their cat. It's a very real moment. Absolutely 100% real. And as far as the producer's favorite portion of the game, what he called the Street Fighter segment / Easter egg in the game, which is a portion in the game where you, as the main character, you fight off against like these bullies or other characters in the game directly, just like in Street Fighter. And I had a gut feeling that was going to be his favorite. I mean, even when his when he gave me his business card, his like main, like, you know, cartoon portrait illustration, it's of him in like a very Street Fighter-esque pose. So that was great. I had it again. I really enjoy talking with the guys over at Tokyo Productions. They are all such wonderful people, and the amazing thing that they've done for me specifically as a podcaster, content creator. I'm very happy to see that their booth got a lot of attention. I did not enter their raffle, therefore I did not get a chance to win one of their items that they were giving away, which was a playmat with art from Coffee Talk episode 2. I need to get that one day. I need to somehow get that. I don't know how. One day. Also, cosplayer content creator Jenilyn Meowry was also at PAX for Friday to Sunday. She was there mostly staying with the New Blood booth, which New Blood is a I want to say they're a producer company, a producer gaming company. So basically she was there dressed up in cosplay for Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday just without the wig that she had on. But she was there cosplaying one of the characters from an upcoming game that New Blood was promoting at their booth. Great time, you know, talking with her for a little bit. She's a very, very sweet girl. And I just love getting a chance to see her at cons. So we did talk a little bit about how, you know, she's sort of like a dream guest for me to have on the podcast, and she's aware of it. So she's hoping maybe sometime this year. It boiled down to her having a much busier schedule than I do. So we will see. At some point during the year, maybe I will have her on the podcast. Fingers crossed. Let's see here. Scrolling down. The last day of the con, Sunday, ended up being, you know, a lot more media appointments. I got to sort of reschedule at the con one of the media appointments that I missed on Saturday because I was getting lunch with some new friend that I met. So it was really one of the first things I did on the Sunday, which was try out this game published by Playdigious called Fretless. It is a turn-based RPG. I was reading about it later, and it does make sense. It's a turn-based RPG with, like, deck-building elements. So, all centered around music, musical instruments. In fact, I also got to talk with, very briefly, one of the artists of the game, Connor, mentioned many parts of his life, including his wife and his pet. They're all in the game somewhere. Like, they're just all present. So, basically, in how I can describe it is that it's a turn-based RPG. You play as this person. Fuck, I don't know. I want to say the main character's name is Will. Apologies if I'm wrong. He wants to take part in this battle of the bands. And it's just, you know, you just gotta do a lot of fighting with these interesting creatures in this world. So you can equip various instruments, like an acoustic guitar. I believe, what did he say? He said, there's like a heavy metal guitar weapon. There's a bass that's a weapon. And you basically, for each turn, you yourself, you queue up 3 moves at a time and do all those moves in one shot. And you can inflict a variety of status effects that can affect both you and the enemies. You can also mod the weapons with attachments. Very cool, like, little layout with, like, your, like, musical gear, your pedals. Oh, that's what he said. I think, if I remember correctly, he said that one of his favorite weapons was a synthesizer that you get later on in the game. It was not present in the demo, but you essentially, you know, you queue up these moves, you do these attacks, you inflict various status effects, all building up to a super move that you do at some point in battle if you need to. That involved quick time events. Cool. Yeah, I definitely could see myself playing this at some point. He did say that it is planned for a release on PC through Steam, not on Macs. But he is hoping that, you know, maybe put it to consoles. This is like a definite, like, game for me to buy on the Switch. It's just, I don't know, like indies have that vibe for me. Like, they're just perfect games on the Switch to play in handheld mode. Or, you know, if I'm streaming it, you know, through my TV. As I down the rest of this coffee. Let's see. Saw Jenna again. As I mentioned earlier, she was wearing the same cosplay before, without the black wig, so her glorious, like, red-orange hair was on display. I got to speak with Joe over at Many World Tavern, so her and Vicky Bunny Angel are people that will be on the show maybe next week to talk about their time at PAX East with the stuff that they did. So hope you guys can look forward to that. To round it out, on my little sheet here, are 2 other things that I did. So one was I checked out another game, called Robots at Midnight, where I didn't set up an appointment, but I got an email from them, and I was just immediately enthralled by the art style. Very, like, it just reminded me of, like, you know, Pixar, those kinds of cartoons, kind of things. So, it's an action RPG, sure. When I got to playing it, boy was I in for a surprise. This is a Souls-like game. I am god-awful at these games. I don't like them. I can't adjust my play style to be, like, you know, waiting and, like, parrying and, like, doing these special moves. Yeah, like, blocking, parry, normal, and heavy attacks. However, when I spoke with one of the developers that was there, you know, he was, you know, asking if I wanted to try out the boss, and I was like, truthfully, no, because, you know, I was dying several times in the demo that they had on display. But he mentioned that, you know, they want to poise this game as sort of an entry point into the Souls-like genre for those that would be newcomers, I guess such as like myself. So to me, that almost seems like this would not be a very short game to play, rather than, you know, the tens of hours that you get in, like, Elden Ring and, like, Dark Souls and Bloodborne and all that stuff. So, I don't know if he said that a demo was available, but they're still working on it, and I believe, I want to say they're shooting for a release this year, if I remember correctly. So, then, there was also, I got to talk with, Geek Therapeutics, who, maybe some of you remember, I got to talk with one of their, doctors, mental health experts, for one of the episodes. I want to say that that was also a PAX-centered episode, but I got to talk with someone there, where it was basically, my fault for not being properly prepared, but it was just, they were telling me about their booth setup and what they were having to sell and share. So, they were talking about their forms of outreach that they do at the booth, including selling plushy dice to help people with making decisions as a therapeutic practice. But they're also known for their writing, which I got to watch one of their panels from PAX one year. I believe it was like the psychology of Final Fantasy. I want to say that was the panel title. And that was something that, you know, it was... Hang on, I'm just trying to mute that and skip. Okay. Something that they were... present, or what am I saying? So they had their writing. They were, a lot of their books, they take a look at video games and trying to understand the psychological content behind them and the stuff that makes them so compelling. So I believe they were showing off, a book they did surrounding, Elden Ring. In addition to one based on My Hero Academia. They also, I was also being shown the role-playing tool that they had, that they use when they travel to hospitals and schools, when they do, you know, I guess, speaking presentations there. They did dice trays, working with Guardians Mental Health. I'm debating, I might insert, you know, the portion in the episode. I could do it, maybe right here. I could just add the file in. So 4340. Okay. Adding it in.
Okay. Go for it.
Okay. So, all right. What do you want?
Tell me about the booth.
Okay, sure. So my name is Shane Sultan. I'm a board member for Geek Therapeutics. Geek Therapeutics are mental health professionals that like to use pop culture in therapeutic settings. The booths that we have set up are basically our forms of outreach. So, for example, we have our plushy dice that are available because it is in a therapeutic practice. It's good to have something that allows you to make some decisions and still be something that is friendly. Most of the things that we are known for is our writing. So we have quite a few books in the Psychology of Video Game series. Mostly right. What we're looking at is how to actually look at video games and understand the psychological concepts behind the things that make them compelling and fun and all the things that we enjoy about games. In terms of other things at our booth, we have our tools that allow us to do role-playing when we travel to hospitals and schools. So we have the folding dice towers that gives us some flexibility to basically put these in our little messenger bags and take them with us. And in addition, it had the little dice trays that we can use for children and VA professionals. But one thing that we are also well known for is working with our partners. We work with Guardians Mental Health as a... So Guardians Mental Health is a great volunteer or great organization that we work with that basically also deal with mental health in virtual spaces and real spaces. We work with Stack Up. That is the group that works with veterans and trying to establish role-playing as a mechanism that allows them to be better. But in terms of the booth, we're really just known like having the books that are available. Fans are, they like the dice that we have. But honestly, we just like being here for PAX. PAX is our home. This is something that we started at West in 2020, and we've been growing ever since. We love when people come back saying, I remember when you had a 10 by 10 booth. So having this space and having this celebration of everything that makes Geek Therapeutics what it is, it's been awesome.
Great. Great. Is there any particular, I think I was overhearing it, any new books that you're promoting?
Yeah, there's three books in particular. So, the first book. Hello, friends. Yep, you're good. This is one that came out in July, August, is Elden Ring.
Cool.
So this is a collab. All the books we have are collaborations. So we have about anywhere from 12 to 18 authors. Most of them are mental health professionals. Some of them are fans that have experience with the game and understanding aspects of mental health. Most of the ones that I write, because I'm writing from a social psychology perspective, is basically looking at the past research and trying to understand why we play the games.
Yeah.
I talk, for example, in Elden Ring about why greed is an underlying theme. Greed is because there are three aspects of greed that we have to know about. There is the cognitive, how we talk about greed. There is the emotional, how we feel when we are losing things. And then there's the moral, what we make judgments of how people are taking from us or how we are taking from society. Elden Ring gives us some flexibility for understanding that because all the characters suffer from an aspect of greed as part of their complex. The other one is a new version, which is outside the first outside video games, that is My Hero Academia. So that has the manga and the anime. And because we have a lot of fans of My Hero Academia, they basically took the same concept we've had from the other psychology of video games and applied it to this wonderful, iconic series. So, yeah, it's definitely something that we do well.
Yeah, great.
Perfect.
Great.
So if people want to know more about us, we're on social media as Geek Therapeutic. If you're on Instagram, Geek Therapeutic, but otherwise it's Geek Therapeutics. Because some places have a 15-character limit. The SSC exists some places it doesn't.
Yep.
So we're just there. So that is basically, that is the 90-second tour of everything we do when we're at PAX and other conventions.
Okay. All right, sounds good.
Perfect. My friend?
Okay, so that was the little interview I had with the people over at Geek Therapeutics. Apologies for the excess noise, but you know, they mentioned that they enjoy PAX because it is their home. They started in 2020 at West, and they've just grown a bunch since then. So, always good getting to see those guys there. I gotta figure out how to try to collaborate with them more and just definitely try to get some more of their books at some point. Yeah, so we'll see how all those jump cuts do when I add this in, add their segment in. I mean, I pretty much said I would, so there you go. Hope you enjoyed that. other than that, oh yeah, I also got to spend some of Sunday with, cosplayer / VTuber streamer Mink the Satyr, and I got to meet, you know, some of her crew member community friends like Renova and Volshock and Ashes. I got to spend time with them, walk around, see Mink do her thing. It was great until I just apparently just had the 1,000-yard stare where It was getting super late. Like I was about to leave the convention on Sunday when I got this, when I saw Mink and her crew like near one of the exits I was gonna go for, and I just like stuck with them for a little bit. But it was fun. It was fun. Yeah, that's I think that's pretty much it. Just PAX East has given me so much as a content creator, and it has become essentially my favorite convention to go to each year. I try to go to it each year if I can. This should be interesting because their dates for next year position the con all the way in May, which is something that has not been done before. Like, PAX was always a late February, March, April con, not May. So it's actually going to be warm in Boston for once when I go. maybe that opens up opportunities to go to MAGFest, because I always hear crazy, great, fun things about MAGFest. So we will see. We will see. But, so yeah, you got the Geek Therapeutics interview portion, if I can try to figure out how to upload that and input it into the episode. But yeah, that was my PAX. I'm sure there will be other things that I missed that will be mentioned in the upcoming episodes about the convention. But regardless, I hope you guys enjoyed listening to me rambling and stumbling on my words as I talked about the convention. And yeah, again, stay tuned for more episodes within the next week. And then who knows what 2024 will take us in terms of cosplay and conventions. So yeah, thank you so much for tuning in. And thank you to those that tuned in for the live stream. That's all I got. And I will see you all at some point in the future. Take care.